Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
G'day mates, it's Bee Buster here. And before the episode begins, I would just like to let you know that Be Scared, which is produced along with Studio 71, features scary stories from around the globe on a weekly basis that aim to fuel your nightmares with a smile. And if you enjoy the podcast, it would be great if you could hit that subscribe button and drop a review. But thanks for listening, guys. And without further ado, let's begin.
It was the third day of February, 2012, in the Brazilian state of Rio Grande, and this is something I'll never forget. So my sisters, my mother, and me went to have some fun at the beach, pretty far from our home. Our mother had rented the house of a friend for a few days, which we used while going to and coming back from the beach. It was one of those very dirty sort of beach places where trash was dumped all around, and not that many people were going to it. But for us, it was a pretty fun getaway. I even remember joking to my sister that there are probably sharks in this beach. It was a hot day too, and I have the skin of a vampire, so after the first day on the beach, I was looking like Mr. Krabs, and I had to stay in that house while they went to have some fun, which for me was totally okay. I'm kind of introverted anyway. Now one day, my mother and my sister, except for my youngest one, had all gone to go to some specific place. One went to color their nails, the other went to have a massage, two decided to go back to the beach, and my mum was going to go to a club with her friends because she was a boomer or whatever. But my younger sister went to sleep, and basically, it was just me in this two-floor house, which was way bigger than the home that I was raised in. But the place was kind of creepy, I guess, and it didn't help that the moon that day was full. I was young and a stupid kid, I guess you could say, who was scared to death by creepy nights and also full of energy. So I jumped over the fence of our house by climbing over it. My thoughts at the time were pretty stupid, but I was going to look for my mum. I did that without thinking about stuff like, you know, the possibility of me getting kidnapped or killed by some robber or whatever. This is Brazil, after all. Street crime is high, really high here. Anyway, I walked a little bit around the town, but then I realized that I was lost. I was utterly overwhelmed by the same modern buildings, and I had no idea as to where I was. I also had no idea of where my mum was. I knew the name of the place where she went, but I didn't know how to get there or exactly where that was. After the fear of being lost fully took over, I decided to give up and just go back to the house, but I didn't know where the house was at this point, so I just sort of walked around. There were very few people around that night, and I was way too anxious to ask anyone I saw for help or directions. Eventually, though, the road mixed with this path of dirt. It sort of looked like the path in front of the house that we were staying at, so I thought that I was in the right direction, since I took another path after getting out of the house, but there were several others which this path could lead to. So I walked and walked, and eventually I found a beach. Not the beach where I went with my sisters, but a different one. But little me did not know that, so I ran into the beach because I thought that I could find two of my sisters there and they could bring me back home. Obviously, they were not at the beach, but something else was. Now, this beach had these rocks leading up to outside the water. You know those sort of spiked rocks that normally sink ships? Those ones. And one of them was all the way into the sand, and I kept seeing something moving beside it from the corner of my vision. So I just sort of stood there and looked at the rock for a bit. Then, something came out from beside the rock. This thing. It seemed to be about the size of a fully grown man, but it stood straight. It had legs and feet, but whatever it was, it definitely wasn't human. And the biggest proof was the left arm that I saw. So, you know centipedes, right? Those black things with 1,000 legs? Well, this left arm was exactly like that. The thing extended to the ground and it moved like it had a life of its own. I could see all of the legs moving on it too. The whole body of this thing was weird, and not just the centipede arm. You know that green guy from Nightmare Before Christmas? Well, this man was kind of like that, but made of skin and with an egg-shaped head. I don't know what the man did after he saw me, because after seeing him in the clear moonlight with the ocean backdrop, my child self was absolutely terrified, and I just straight up bolted away from there. I ran away as far and as fast as I could from that beach, never looking back. Eventually, too, while running on this dirt path, one of my sisters, thank the Lord, found me. It looks like they were looking for me for a while, and once we got back to the house, I got scolded real bad by my mother, who was angry as anything with me for running away. She thought that I was kidnapped or something like that and was about to call authorities. I did tell this story to my sisters. Obviously, they found it to be unbelievable. In fact, the only one that believes is the youngest, but she also believes in all that witchcraft stuff, so I guess her belief is sort of already wonky. To be clear with you guys, though, I don't believe in the supernatural stuff like werewolves, Bigfoot, greys, and all that stuff. I think of all of it as just conspiracy theories and stupid beliefs based on zero proof. But to this day, I really do believe that that man thing was real. I actually saw it. I wasn't hallucinating. It was there, and it was as real as I was. The memory, it's still very vivid in my mind, and again, I have no idea what it was, but it was real. I saw it, and I'll never forget it.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I BeBusterHere.com.
So I am from Madrid, Spain. My family is from a small mountain city. We're all familiar with the mountains here. Even though I live in Madrid, I always go to hike in the mountain range surrounding Madrid. I would not consider us to be very superstitious and or believe strongly in supernatural events, although I am a huge fan of folklore. But this story, it happened in summer. Back when I was 14 years old, my mother took me and my brother for a week-long trip to a mountain range in the southeast of Spain, close to the old town of Riopa Viejo. We had already spent half of the week going on multiple hikes, and we visited beautiful lakes where me and my brother could swim, despite them being super cold. Overall, we had already had a lot of fun, and we were enjoying our small family trip so far. Now one day, while it was very sunny and warm, we went on a hike again to this kind of, like, abandoned trail, I guess, which some of the locals of the village, they had recommended it. It wasn't accessible by car, and there was no phone service. We didn't care, though, because we loved to spend time in nature, and we would just spend our time walking and talking instead of being on our phones. We found a crystal clear lake at one point, with beautiful turquoise greenish water and lots of water vegetation in it too. My brother and I immediately jumped in, and afterwards we had a picnic for lunch. So far so good, right? Suddenly, while we were enjoying our lunch, we heard a loud scream. It was very high-pitched and sort of just overall scary, I guess. Considering the fact that we were next to the lake in a small valley between tall mountains, we could hear it kind of echoing. All three of us immediately looked at each other, sort of startled. We were certainly not imagining anything. From what we could deduce, the sound came from the other side of the lake, in a very sort of bushy area. The lake itself was not very big, and we decided to make our way around it to investigate. Because, although we had not seen anyone during the entire day out there, maybe someone was in danger, or maybe someone needed help. I cannot really specify what the scream exactly sounded like. In hindsight, it was not your typical scream for help, but who knows what humans are capable of sounding like when in dire need of help, right? Anyway, after a 20-minute walk, we were already getting to the entrance of the bushy area at the other side of the lake, all three of us approaching with our walking sticks in hand and in a cautious position. The first thing that we noticed was an awful smell of, like, rotting flesh that, together with the scream earlier, made us feel a sudden sense of dread. Normally, you would feel welcome when helping someone out, but we didn't feel welcome at all in this place. My instincts were telling me that we should just backtrack our way out of there, while not losing sight of the bushy area, that is. However, we could not shake the feeling that we had to help if someone needed it. So we decided to proceed slowly instead. The joy and the laughter that we had on the other side of the lake was now gone. Whatever was going on at this side of the lake, it felt wrong and ominous. Now, I cannot talk to my brother or mother's behalf, but the hair on my arms was standing on end. And after making our way through the bush for 10 minutes, we finally reached a sort of clearing area. During this whole time, the sense of dread had continued, and the awful smell of rotting flesh had only increased. Finally, in the middle of the clearing, we saw what had caused this smell. In what seemed to be the perfect middle of this small clearing, we found the dead corpse of a deer, or at least what remained from it. The limbs were removed from its torso, and the head was, well, half eaten. The thing is, though, is that the cadaver looked fairly fresh, as if it was killed that same day. However, the smell was still that of a rotting and decayed corpse, which, I don't know, that did not make any sense. We checked for footprints or dung in the clearing, but we didn't find anything. I guess a logical explanation would be wolves, or maybe even bears, since we have both of them in rural Spain. However, the missing footprints and the way of how this deer was ripped apart made it seem almost unnatural. After we had checked the surroundings, we left as quickly as possible, and on our way back, we did not stop to rest at the lake or anything. We just wanted to get out of there as quickly as we could. Now, when we were leaving the valley behind us, halfway up one of the surrounding mountains, we heard yet another scream, similar to the first one. However, this time, we didn't feel the urgency to check if someone needed help. Instead, we paced up our speed and we didn't go back. Somewhere in the evening, when we finally had made it back to our village, we went for dinner at a small old bar in the picturesque town square. We talked to some of the elder people from the village about our experience with their abandoned trail and all that, and they told us that apparently we had somewhere taken a wrong turn on the trail, since it was not very clear in that this was the reason we ended up at the valley with the lake. They also told us that a few centuries back, during the Spanish Inquisition, the local townspeople had gone to that valley because a so-called witch lived there and set her house on fire, killing the poor old woman. Since then, the locals never hike close to that lake or its surroundings in the valley. A couple of days later, we left to go back home, but we have never been able to shake the feeling of the dread that we experienced that day. Again, we are not superstitious or big believers of the supernatural by any means, but what happened on that day was, well, definitely weird. I was a third shifter in Wisconsin, US, around 2014, who lived about 20 minutes from my workplace in the country. Now, as I was pulling up into the section of the country back road that immediately led into the city, I saw probably the strangest sight that I have ever seen in my life, and I cannot explain it. It was twilight, almost evening, and so the trees were all black against the dark blue sky, and I simply happened to glance up at the top of one of the trees as I was driving, and what I originally thought was the top of the tree flew up into the air at lightning speed and disappeared. It looked like a humanoid thing with wings, but it was so fast that I could barely make out anything else. But it definitely had legs and wings. It just lifted up. The figure with wings that I thought was the top of the tree just flew up and disappeared, lightning fast. I've never seen anything fly that fast. Honestly, it was like a blink. I remember stopping my car outside of my workplace and just sitting there and thinking about what I just saw and wondering if I was crazy or if I imagined it. We don't have any animals or anything natural that looks anything like that, so I have no idea what it was. I decided not to tell my coworkers or anybody ever except until now because, well, it's been about 10 years and it's bothered me this whole time. Do you guys have any ideas as to what this could have been? I wouldn't call myself a complete believer of the paranormal, but I'm not someone who writes it off completely either. I'm a skeptic, I guess you could say, that's open and willing to believe if given proof. I have family that is deeply involved with this type of stuff, though, and has their own experiences with the paranormal. I've got a few things that happened to me that I can't entirely explain normally. However, the one that I'm about to describe is by far the one that has no type of logic that can debunk it, at least to my knowledge so far. Now, to better understand my experience, you have to understand the layout of my bathroom for it, because it happened in the shower. On my second floor, there's four rooms counting the bathroom. You walk up the stairs and you'll see one room straight across from the base of the stairs, while two rooms, they follow the wall on the right to said room, finishing with a room mirroring the one at the base of the stairs. Once you enter the bathroom, immediately to the right is my sink and mirror. The sink is about maybe 4-ish feet off the ground. Next to the sink is my bath or shower, blocked by a wall so it doesn't connect to my sink. Straight across from the door is the toilet, and I had my door closed, no one else in the bathroom, nor any pets. Since my shower is also a bathtub, there's a ledge where me and my family members will keep shampoos, body washes, etc., etc., etc. And I begin to wash my hair, place the shampoo on the ledge. As I go to put it down, I placed it a bit too close to the edge and it fell off. I heard the bottle roll around a bit and ultimately come to a stop. I think, oh well, I'll just grab it when I get out. I begin to finish up in the shower, get out to grab my towel, blah blah blah. I look on the ground to find the shampoo bottle, but I can't. I sort of look around for a little while, and after a few seconds of searching, I look up to see the bottle sitting perfectly on the sink. Again, the sink is about 4 feet off the ground, and it's away from the shower altogether. I heard it rolling on the ground, and there's a wall separating my bath and sink. I have asked my family members if they did it or someone was just messing with me, but to this day, no one has claimed to have done it. And to be honest, I think I would have heard someone or seen them perhaps if they had come in. So, does anyone here have any form of explanation for this? I'm still scratching my head over it, and it really, really freaks me out. So this story takes place close to 20 years ago at this point. I was spending a lot of time with my friends Danny and Kate. We were all sitting on Danny's couch watching TV one day. Danny says, I'm bored and let's do something. As we suggest things, I say, hey, have you guys ever heard of the Smelter? For background, this all takes place in Arizona, Prescott to be exact, and the Smelter is located in Humboldt, Arizona. It is very old, late 1800s, I think. It used to process metals, I should say, but we start driving out there, smoking cigarettes and listening to music. We arrive and I start telling them how we hung out here every weekend in junior high. My best friend at the time, Mike, lived in Humboldt. So we would take girls to the Smelter and just drink, usual kid stuff. Nothing even remotely weird ever happened back then, so I guess that's why I was totally unprepared for what was going to unfold. We approached the outside of the smokestack, and I noticed that the stairs had finally been ripped down. I guess whoever owned the property was sick of punk kids entering. I say, huh, guess someone finally took the stairs out. I then explain the holes every couple of feet in the catwalk, how they must have used the holes to shovel the ash. Giving up on entering, we move to the side, and after what I'm about to tell you, I'm glad that we couldn't get in. I mean, someone definitely would have been hurt. So, we're outside for about 15 minutes being loud and just joking around. Then it suddenly got really quiet and still, and thousands of bats came screeching out of the windows of the Smelter. I mean, an absolutely ridiculous amount of them. I say to them, we've been standing out here making noise for close to 20 minutes. We didn't scare those bats. And right when I said that, we heard a sort of loud thud hit the ground, like something heavy fell down a porthole, and then silence. Our eyes widened, nobody said anything, and another thud, then one more. And to this day, I will never be able to explain this next bit. We started hearing the loudest screeches like ever. Dust started flying up like a bird was dying on the ground, but nothing was there. They circled us getting closer, and all we could really do was huddle closer together. It was like we forgot that we could run, I guess, but I forgot who ran first. I kind of remember being out of it, but not thinking correctly, I guess. But anyways, we ran and the first thing Danny said was, if someone told me that story, I would never believe them. We eventually ran back and we just got out of there. Anyways, If anyone has any leads, the rumor is that a girl was apparently killed here, but I could never confirm that. I always thought that it was an urban legend, but after this happened, there's something wrong with that place, and I don't know what it is. When I was 13 or 14, I'm 20 now, I used to go to Parkett Open Gym. Basically, I went there for a few days, saw a girl there almost my age for several days. Then one day I just gathered courage and I asked her about directions, just an excuse to talk with her. Then we started talking, then eventually we kind of became friends. I don't even remember a bit what we talked about, besides the direction question. But the only weird thing is that no one ever used to look at her besides me. She only ever talked to me. She didn't used to go to school either. Not like I have a weak memory about anything too, but it just isn't there. Then she asked me to go for a walk. I went behind her and we started running or racing. Then she stopped me in the middle of the race and said, "Let's not go there. Weird guys sit there." Which was true. A part of that park is filled with people who do drugs and alcohol and stuff. But I told her it's fine to come with me, and we did, and no one stopped us. We started running in circles on that park, and then the next day I came again, and she was there doing some exercise on that open gym. I went near her and said hi. Then we started talking about something, which I really can't think of again, but she used to like talking with me, so she was showing some interest. Eventually, I had a mobile phone. I handed her paper with my number and she took it. Then we again went for that run and said bye to each other and went back home. The thing that happened here, though, is that she called me the next day at exactly 12:02 a.m. and said that she wanted to see me and asked to come out. Then I had to cut the call because my mum asked who's there. I told her that it was the wrong number and I went to sleep. Obviously, I wasn't allowed to go outside around that time, but then the next day I gathered some courage again and called that number back during the afternoon. The exact same number. I told her that someone called me, a girl, and they said that he owns the number and doesn't have any daughter. In fact, he didn't even live close to that area because I asked him. Then I went to the park for more than a week, and it was regularly around that time that she was always there, but I never saw her again. No one talked about her too, and she never told me her house, nothing. She sort of just disappeared. Was she grounded by her parents, or did I just experience something weird? I'm not too sure, but what I do have is a recording of me walking, but I thought that she was there, but in the recording, there's no one. So I guess my question is, did I hallucinate this? Am I going crazy? But I still have her number, or the number at least that I called back, that I swore that she spoke to me on. I don't know. The whole thing freaks me out, and to be honest with you, I just want to forget about it. I was about 16 years old, and I lived with my family in Levine, Arizona. The family at the time consisted of me, my two younger brothers, my mom, and my stepdad. So it was late at night, or early in the morning, I guess you could say. I had gotten out of bed upstairs, since we had a two-story house, and I went downstairs to get some food. Eventually, my middle brother, who would have been about 13, came down too. We ultimately decided to watch some TV in the living room, so we stayed downstairs. I needed to use the restroom, so I excused myself and went to the half bath in the hall leading to our garage and laundry. My stepdad, he came downstairs and he told my brother to go to bed before sounding confused. "Who was in this bathroom?" he asked. "I am," I answered. From what my brother told me, he took a step back in shock. I then heard him say, "I saw you upstairs. You stood outside your room when I left mine, stared at me, and then walked into your room." Eventually, we all left the living room and returned to our rooms, terrified. We had also been finding handprints at the time next to my baby brother's room, so maybe the thing that pretended to be me was also peeking into my brother's room occasionally. But the way the handprints were, it seemed like they stood in front of my room and peeked into the baby's room. I cannot be completely sure about that, but we definitely saw the handprints, and we have no idea how they got there. This happened close to 12 years ago when I was about 16 years old in North Las Vegas. To this date, I've never had such a thing happen to me again, but it's a moment that I will never forget, and I figured that I'd share it with all of you guys who might be interested. I would like to add that I'm somewhat of a healthy skeptic, I guess you could say, and not really religious, though I am open to the idea of higher powers and anomalies and all that. Now, my older brother and I were at a house party, and when the time came for my brother to leave, I insisted on staying, knowing that I would have to walk home eventually since he was my ride. Mind you, we didn't live very far, maybe a mile or two at most. Fast forward to me leaving though, and I was on my way walking home. I had a nice buzz, but I definitely wasn't impaired to the point of having my vision or motor functions affected in any way that I can't blame this on. I know the whole 3 a.m. thing is super cliche, but it definitely was around that time frame, so I'm going to go ahead and say that when I started walking home, it was probably around 2-ish. The streets were wide and almost no cars to be seen. I know as a woman it's different, but as a guy I actually took comfort in cars passing at this time because for that small window, I felt like I wasn't alone walking when they were passing, if that makes sense. Anyway, the journey was eerie, but I made it to the entrance of my neighborhood. Unfortunately, my house was basically at the opposite end of this winding road, yet still a straight shot, so I had just a little ways to go at this point. Nonetheless, I knew these streets, and safety was definitely on the horizon. The houses are fairly sized, I guess you could say, and as I'm walking down the sidewalk, between each house there's basically an alleyway of darkness. In the day it would be a walking path, perhaps to the backyards with, you know, electric meters on the walls of the houses and AC units and all that. But at night, these alleys are pretty much pitch black when you look far enough. Now, as I'm walking down the sidewalk, I can't help but glare in between each house and start getting in my head and tripping myself out from my imagination. I try to slow down my roll mentally since I'm alone and stay en route. No cars have passed in a while, thus no comfort. I continue like this down the street until my house is finally in sight down the way. Obviously, I felt a little bit better with my destination now in view. Then a car comes north from the direction of my house, and I'm on the right-hand sidewalk with the road to my left, so I thought, sweet, another human to see me home, be it for just a moment. It was then when this car passed me, and after the flash of the lights, that I saw what I saw. Already looking towards the street, after the car passed on my left, something grabbed my attention in the corner of my eye, crossing the street towards me. The street lights were those yellowish ones, so the street was lit just enough for me to see it. And at first, honestly, I thought it was a dog, so I glanced directly at it. And what I saw initially, if I had to describe it, was what almost seemed to be a black silhouette of a little boy trotting towards me. I don't know if you've ever seen those typical little statues of toddlers, like in a garden section of a store, curly hair and all in a swing or whatnot. But if I had to describe the black silhouette, it resembled that of a little boy, I guess. I'm an avid gamer, so I guess I would assume that I know when to lock it in, but when this thing caught my eye with a raised brow after the car passed it, was when I did a double take to confirm what I had just seen, and I completely lost it. I remember turning directly towards it, after the glare of the headlights, after any factor that I could have blamed it on passed, for but just a second or two, enough for me to analyze it, there it was. A shadowy little boy trotting towards me with no features, around 2.5, maybe 3 feet tall. The moment, and I mean the moment that I consciously accepted that this was happening, I literally gasped, already turning my body, and yelled as I took off full sprint towards my house. I kid you not too, it felt like I was passing a house every 2 strides, never ran so quickly in my life. And as I'm running, trying to collect myself, I literally reminded myself of what had just happened, and it was like I put on the turbos. I genuinely felt like it was right behind me up until this point. I was already running as fast as I could, but my survival instinct said otherwise. I never looked back once, and I ran all the way to my house, and thank God that they left the front door open for me. I literally slammed the door behind me, and there was my dad and brother, still awake, reclined, and watching TV. I'll be 29 this August, but I remember this night vividly, and it still gives me chills when I recall this moment. I've never really shared this with, well, pretty much anyone, and you're free to believe it or not if you want. Regardless, it's still somewhat of a relief that I can finally get this off my chest. I appreciate you if you've taken the time to hear this out, and I would be happy to answer any questions in the comments below if you have any. And if anyone who has listened to this has any ideas as to what this is, then please do share it, because I would really like to know.
G'day mates, it's Bee Buster here. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Bee Scared Podcast. And please, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode too. Also, it would be much appreciated if you could share this new podcast with your friends and family, and on social media too. Thanks again for listening, guys, and I'll see you mates in the next one.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.